Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait till later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. That's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. I'd like to start off by sending our deepest condolences to Bob Christopher and his family. The reason he's not here is he's at a funeral today for a family member, an aunt, a favorite aunt of his who lives in the Kentucky area. And they know where she is. You know, it wasn't unexpected, and she's in a better place. And so it's as joyful a time as it can be at a time like this. Sure. But still, remember their family in your prayers and as they move forward through this.
I understand she was 102 years old.
Yes, 102.
What a life.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. So kind of in that vein, since we've been talking about freedom, I wanted to read something else out of Romans 8. Anybody who knows me knows that I spend an awful lot of time in Romans 8. I read it many, many times. But this is another view of freedom, starting in verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. A couple of interesting statements Paul made right there. For us, as children of God, we have freedom and glory because that's what God has declared over us and into us because of the work of Jesus Christ. But even creation, even the world, the plants, the trees, the streams, the mountains, everything in creation is groaning, according to verse 22, as in the pains of childbirth. What it's groaning for is to be liberated from its bondage to decay. Even our earth, even our universe, our heavens and earth, are in bondage to decay because of sin.
Yeah.
This is one of the greatest statements against evolution that exists, because evolution would say we're getting better. Mm-hmm. We're moving from simplicity to greater complexity and therefore able to do more things, and this includes nature itself. And yet the Bible says just the opposite. Nature is in bondage to decay. Mm-hmm. Because of sin, and it's waiting to be brought into the same freedom and glory that we children of God have. And yet we know that this is a hope. It's not, at least for the whole world and for us physically, this is a hope. This is something we haven't yet attained. But we certainly have freedom. We have been declared to be free by Jesus himself. We're free from sin, free from the bondage to death that we were living in. And we know that spiritually, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenlies.
Right.
So we are waiting for the final revelation, but that revelation is guaranteed. And the rest of the world, the physical universe that we are familiar with, is groaning right along with us, can hardly wait until Jesus finishes this, and it's going to happen.
Yes, indeed. And that's good news when that happens. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Davis with Richard Piper on this edition, and we invite you to be a part of it. Toll-free open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. In just a moment, going to go to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. But again, plenty of time on the clock, all the time, as a matter of fact, remaining. And open lines, 1-800-677-9377. And let's go to Louisville and talk to Mary Jo right now.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Thank you.
How can we help you today?
My question is this, and I'm having trouble kind of getting it out, but I remember reading no thieves, no liars, I can't think of some others, but I remember the homosexuals will enter the kingdom of God, but then it goes at the bottom of that, it says, but that is what you were.
Yes.
Do you know where I'm talking about?
Yes, that comes out of 1 Corinthians 6. And in that chapter, Paul is taking the Corinthians to task because they're taking their own dirty laundry, if you will, to the pagan courts and taking each other, suing each other. And he says, why would you do this? Don't you know that so many people who are involved in your local city are just evil pagan people? They're lost people. Why wouldn't you want to deal with your issues among fellow children of God? And so he starts in verse 7, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers and sisters. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he takes a breath and says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So what he's doing is reminding these people of what they had been saved out of. You know, Corinth was a terrible, terrible place. And yet, when the gospel was brought to these people who were involved in all of this horrible stuff, they responded to the power of Jesus Christ, and they were washed, sanctified, and justified. They had been pulled out of all of that sin and degradation and had been made children of God, and Paul was asking them to treat each other accordingly. Now, you're no longer those kind of people. You're no longer swindlers or greedy. You're no longer drunks. But you're children of God, so treat each other accordingly. Treat each other with the honor and respect that is due to a fellow child of God.
Well, the reason I'm calling is Bob Christopher. I'm having trouble. He's just talking to this guy, and this man said that he ended up dying of AIDS, but he accepted the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And I think Bob Christopher said it all depends where his walk was with Christ. Then he, you know, then, well, I guess I'm trying to say is, so it's possible for homosexuals to enter the kingdom of God.
Notice what Paul said here, and that is what some of you were. Being saved out of something usually means that the Spirit of God is working in you to change the way you behave. Okay? So everybody always gets hung up with homosexuals, but he's just as positive about the greedy and the drunkards and slanderers and swindlers. There's a whole long list of people here that, if they just continued that way, would be lost. But if they come to Jesus, they don't have to quit being bad in order to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus so that you can get the Holy Spirit, who can change your mind, renew your mind so that you begin to choose differently, so you begin to behave differently. That behavior never saves you. The behavior didn't cause you to be lost. You were born lost. But the Holy Spirit will not leave you where you were. If your sin is worry and you come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to work in your mind to help you stop worrying and to start trusting. If you are in some sort of sexual sin, whether it's homosexuality or in a heterosexual way, you come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is going to indwell you and work on your mind, change your mind, renew your mind, and teach you how to love appropriately instead of inappropriately. That's the Spirit's job. And so we don't look at people who were caught in sin and say, clean up your act before you come to Jesus. We bring them to Jesus and then walk alongside them as the Spirit changes them, and we can be an encouragement, and we can help them stay focused on Jesus rather than getting caught up again in the weird thinking that got them in trouble in the first place.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit better for me. I understand that better.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much, sir.
Sure enough.
Appreciate your call. Hope you keep listening. Okay,
thank you.
Take care now. Staten Island, New York. Let's talk to Adam, listening on WMCA. Adam, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
I called about 2 weeks ago, and you guys had sent me a gift, Drive the Stake CD, and I listened to it. It's a wonderful CD. I just want to thank you guys for it.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure.
And my question for you guys today is this. I don't know if you remember, but I'm a recent convert. I grew up in an Islamic household.
Yes.
And
yes.
Through reading the Bible, I've come across a lot of points where, you know, they pretty much say honor your mother and father. And I'm kind of confused with that because my mother and father actually tell me that I'm dishonoring them, and they're making it really hard for me. And I don't know how to honor my mother and father, being that they don't respect what I've become.
Yes.
And basically look at me as an infidel.
Yes.
How would I honor my mother and father in a situation like this?
Well, let me take a tiny bit of time to talk about what honor is not. In our society, and I'm thanking my son-in-law, Jason, for this. I got to listen to him preach yesterday, and it was wonderful. And he talked about honor, so I learned something from him. In our society, honor is all about what you do. We honor you if you're a sports star because you're better than everybody else. We honor you if you're a soldier because you served our country. We honor you because you're the salesman of the month because you sold more than everybody else. It's always based in our society by default on the fact that I've done something better than someone else, or at least done something that we think is good. Honor in the Bible is all about letting God's Spirit love through us. So right now, your parents, because of their belief system, believe that you are dishonoring them because you've left that belief system. Their only thing that you could do, as far as they are concerned, is to come back to Islam in order to be honoring. Well,
right.
What God would tell you is you can love your parents and still be true to God. You can love them, you can respect them in every other way but your personal belief system. They're probably just as loved by you as they ever were. They're still your parents. How could you not love them? And the problem with spiritual issues, religious issues, is that we get so emotionally invested in them that we do things like disown our children or accuse them of being infidels. And believe me, it's not just in Islamic families that this happens. When someone who is in a particular belief system, a Christian belief system, changes Christian belief systems, they get just as much grief at home if their parents haven't come along with them. So yours might be a little bit more visible than others, but there are others that go through this. So what I would suggest is that you ask God to make clear to you, or as clear to you as possible, how it is that you can show love to your parents and respect to your parents and honor your parents, not because of what they do for you, but because they're parents. They're your parents, and they are fellow human beings at the very least. And you can't control their response to you. All you can do is ask the Spirit to inform your response to them. And that's not going to make it any easier, but perhaps it will set it in a context that makes it a little bit easier to deal with.
Well, thank you. That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay. I wish I could send you something on this. I can't. however, I would recommend, if you've got time, you can go to this website. It's called valleycreek.org. Valley Creek, all one word. That's the church he goes to. And look up yesterday's sermon on honor and listen to what he says. It was pretty impressive.
Well, I mean,
he's my son-in-law, and I'm biased, but but it was good stuff yesterday. So give it a listen.
Adam, thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep in touch. And just a moment, we're going to go back to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Reza. But before we do, just a couple of notes that we wanted to pass along. First, of course, is that Bob Christopher is going to be joining Kevin McCulley. This is primarily for those of you in the New York, New Jersey area. Going to be joining Bob Christopher and Kevin McCullough at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe, and that's coming up on coming up Thursday, July 24th, this Thursday from 1 to 5 p.m. Again, that's at the American Bible Society, the Atrium Cafe there, and that's at 1865 Broadway in the city there. Hope you can go by and meet Bob and Kevin, and I think it'll be a fun time.
Yes, yes. They ask you to sign up. It's completely free, mm-hmm. but you can go to the WMCA website or our website
sure.
and click through and be able to sign up. But, yeah, Bob's really looking forward to meeting as many of you as possible.
Yeah, again, that's 1 to 5 this Thursday, 1 to 5 p.m. this Thursday at the American Bible Society Atrium Cafe, 1865 Broadway. Then on Sunday, Bob is going to be joining our longtime friend at the Beulah Baptist Church, Timothy Riles. That's going to be at, 11 a.m. Sunday the 27th. It's this coming Sunday, 11 o'clock at 125 West 130th Street in New York. At the Beulah Baptist Church, so I hope you'll take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. I mean, he's got another one coming up later in Washington, D.C., but we'll keep you posted on that later.
Yes,
but
indeed.
This week, New York City.
Absolutely. Well, again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and Reza is on the line from Louisville, listening on WFIA. Hi, Reza. Welcome to the broadcast.
The name is Renta, but
Reza,
I was listening to a broadcast today, and I've been listening to the years of Born Again Believer, and the question is of the Trinity. He was explaining there's only one person in the Trinity, and Jesus Christ is the only person. And if he were born of the Holy Spirit, that would make him God. Some way he has explained, and the theology that Christ was born of a virgin came place from the Nicene Council. What is the real theology on, because you know Christ talked to the Father, he gave an explanation of that, but he's saying it's just that one person. Could you explain that to me, please?
I sure wish I could. The Trinity is a huge topic, and it's something that no human being can understand, because we're finite and God is infinite. So what we have in the Trinity, as demonstrated throughout the Bible, is that we see, or he has chosen to reveal himself to us in three ways: as a Father, as the Son, who became a human being, fully God and fully man, and as the Holy Spirit. Now, the God is not three beings. God is not separable. God is God. God is one. That was one of the great statements from the Jewish theologians, Jewish believers. Comes out of Deuteronomy, I believe it is. I may be wrong. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And yet you see in the Old Testament God described in the plural term, the word Elohim. That's a plural word, and so what we're getting from God is pictures, word pictures about who he is and how he relates to us. Last week we were talking about names of God. There's all these names for God that you see throughout the Bible, and not one of them is enough to describe God. All of them taken together give us a bit of a better picture of who God is. It's that same way with the Trinity. The word Trinity, of course, doesn't occur in the Bible. It's a word humans invented, and it's just getting at the fact that we see God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the things that makes me feel better about that, even though I can't fully explain it, is that he chose to reveal Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then in Revelation, you get this idea that there are even more dimensions of God. One of the translations, or one of the ways to translate part of Revelation, is the sevenfold Spirit of God. So if there are that many more pieces,
yes.
words fail me,
yeah.
If there are that many more pieces, how would I ever get there? But God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing about Son is that Jesus walked on this earth. The beautiful thing about Holy Spirit is that it was good for us that he went away, just as he said. He went to heaven so that he could send himself in spiritual form, the Holy Spirit, into our spirits to make us spiritually alive. None of us has seen the Father. None of us. But Jesus' job while on earth was to reveal the Father to us. And so even though we hear terms Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the only person that actually came to reveal any part of God was Jesus, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he went back, and now it's the Holy Spirit's job to work on us from the inside out to explain the things of God. And so, you know, there are all kinds of historical things you can look at of where these ideas came from and why they came. But the bottom line is that God is revealed to us in Scripture as various things at various times. And he is infinite. He is so much infinitely more than we are. All we can do is fall on our faces before him in adoration and praise and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace that you would think enough of us, sinful human beings that rebelled against you, to send Jesus to save us. And that's where we have to leave it. I love the idea of the Trinity. I can't, as you can tell, as I'm wandering around through the minutes here, that I can't give you a 20-second speech on the Trinity. All I know is that God is God and I'm not, and he loves me and reached into my life and saved me.
Reza, does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Well, thanks for calling. Hope you keep listening and call again if we can be the further help. Thanks again. To Brooklyn, I'm going to talk to Andrew listening on WMCA. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I'm just concerned about a lot of what I heard on the prior radio station, the broadcast before you. What I'm concerned about is where the Bible says, come as you are, I should know in no wise cast out.
Yeah.
And whomsoever will, let him come, I shall know in wise cast. I don't want to paraphrase. However, I am saying, I just heard another word about where Christ is the only one came on earth to reveal who God is. Now, there's a scripture that says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, there were many sinners that came to Christ, and Christ didn't reject them or turn them away. If homosexuals are sinners, which a Christian in his teaching is known that we're not for that. Now, what I'm saying is if you allow a person to come to you as he is and he see the light through you and through your teaching and through what you've learned from Christ's teaching, wouldn't that help that person to become a person of God?
Oh, absolutely. Our job is to bring people to Jesus. You can't bring people to Jesus with a 2x4, generally speaking, but you can bring them with the love of God. When they have come to Jesus and have been converted and born again, they now have the Holy Spirit living in them saying, you know, there's a better way than what you're doing. And it doesn't matter whether it's a homosexual or a serial cheater on his wife or any other sexual sin. They're all bad. And only the Holy Spirit can renew our minds in such a way as to move us away from those behaviors and into the true love of God expressed through us to other people. Sorry, that's all I can give you right now. We're out of time, but thanks for your call and thanks for asking for the clarification.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, again, we're out of time, and thanks to Richard Pfeiffer for holding forth today, and thank you for joining us, everybody. I want to remind you that for your gift of any amount during the month of July, we'll send you a complimentary copy of The Cure by John Lynch. Just visit us at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator. That toll-free number is 800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828, and we would love to get a copy into your hands, and you can support the ministry at the same time. Well, now for Richard and Bob and all the ministry staff, I'm Bob Davis saying, Join us again tomorrow at the same time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.